The Coach Peggy Show. All things wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. How many people in your life have told you you're half of this or half of that? Are you settling? No more. This show is about all things, and you deserve it. It's about your money, your lifestyle, your beliefs, and even romance. We extinguish excuses and raise the bar to all things possible. It's time to use your ATM, you know, your all things mindset. Welcome to the Coach Peggy Show. Bold, badass, and never half in.
Hey, you guys, welcome back. You are back here on the Coach Peggy Show, and I am Coach Peggy Wilms. And guess what? I'm so sure you miss me because I took a little bit of a hiatus. I just went away for 3 or 4 months and decided to tuck myself in, I guess, with this COVID thing. On All Things Wellness, you are going to hear me about, you know, you guys, we talk about whether it's finances or whether it's your heart and forgiveness and connecting or nutrition or exercise. It's the gamut. We have good times. And when I was coming back, I want to tell you a real quick story before I welcome my lovely gal here. When it was March, and I don't know if I was aligning with COVID or what it was, but I had, like, you know how you have this crash and you don't see the red flags coming? And that's what happened to me. So I didn't see the flags coming where I was getting tired and wasn't feeling good and getting overwhelmed and going really wide. And guess what happened? Everything crashed. And in order for me to recover, I had to pull the plug on every single, literally every single aspect of my life, including you guys, my radio show. I called my clients. I canceled. I stopped everything. So my point, I realized I was a human being. I had to seek forgiveness. But honestly, Misty was supposed to be on my show back late winter, early spring. And I know that the timing is perfect. Reverend Misty, time is here with me because I didn't get a chance to pick up the book. And now the timing, because when I read this sucker, I kept thinking of myself and I didn't feel selfish. I kept thinking, I'm going to forgive myself right now. And that's just the way it is. So you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm here with you every first and third Tuesday, 6 Eastern. You guys, I want to give you a heads up on this girl. First of all, if you fall in love with colors before, this is the book for you. If you love, like I do, because I'm kinesthetic and tactile, so I like to look, I like to write a little, I like to look at cartoons, and I like some sense of humor and a storyteller. This chick is for you, master storyteller. And she had her, what does she say? Ticket punched. She has some really good metaphors. Misty is a reverend, you guys. She takes everybody from nuptials to death. And I know that sounds terrible, but this girl has done it. She has been a nurse. She has been, I don't want to say round the block, Misty. That sounds so absolutely horrific. That's not what I mean. But she's, to me, she's like a forgiveness master. Okay. She can help us. I want you to listen. If you're not watching right now, I want you to go for a walk. I want you to plug this in. You know, I always have my coffee mug here with you guys. I got rid of my, I still have on my unicorn mugs, but this is my, picture of myself. How selfish and egotistical. That's awesome. Who cares? It's my show. All right, listen, this girl can, I want you to think about some scenarios for yourself. I want you to think about, is there someone at work that you need to forgive? Is it yourself? Is it COVID? That lovely man you wanted to spend so much time with that now you're stuck with and you didn't realize there's some stuff in there. This girl is for us. Misty.
Hello.
I'm so excited you're here. Welcome to the show.
I am so excited because anybody who has a hairdo like that and pulls it off like you do, you have to be fabulous because I want to be your friend. Like,
or blind.
Yeah, or blind.
Or blind.
I love it so much. I'm so excited to be here too. I really, really am. Your enthusiasm, your show. I've been tuning in a little bit here and there on your other stuff, and you really are just a lot of fun.
Crazy train. That's a nice way of saying this girl's crazy and I want to hop on. So you don't look crazy. I'll be the pilot and you can be, we're going to switch because you got a little cray in there too. You've lived a lot of lifetimes in one lifetime. I have to tell you a quick story because you did something that I think I need to mimic. So I have kind of a crazy, I know she's listening. I have kind of a crazy mother. Oh, and yeah, stepdad. You know, we all have one. Because I'm a crazy mother, so duh. And we're going to be crazy. You're a crazy grandma right now, and I'm going to be a crazy grandma. But I keep, 2 weeks ago, I said to my mother, now, if you die before I do, if you and Pops die before I do, I just need you to know that I know you're going to come back and haunt me because I'm writing a damn hilarious book about you guys. You drive me crazy. You're ridiculous. You love to hate each other, hate to love each other. And it's going to be hysterical. And I know I'm going to do that. And you did your book about, obviously, forgiveness and the path that you took. But, man, you had, girl, you had some nerve.
Well, it's
I was so proud of you.
When you, thank you. Oh, that's really sweet. I really appreciate that. You know, it's one of those statements, you make plans and God laughs. This was not my plan. Because I was just living with that anger and pain and unfulfilled expectations. It's what I'd lived with my whole life. I went to seminary thinking I was going to go to help others. And, you know, like many things, you end up uncovering your own stuff, right? And during seminary, my mom, I ended up taking care of my mom at the end of her life. And she does have, and this book doesn't even scratch the surface of her life. Yes, I talk about her six husbands and that whole thing. And she was stunningly beautiful. She was a performer, but she always had, you know, a martini in one hand and a man on the other, which is great at a party, not necessarily as your mother. And so I do talk about her in this book and also an upcoming book. But I really, if I wrote down all the things,
I know, it's true.
They can't make scratch stuff up. Like, where did that, you know?
Like this would be chapter one.
Yeah, right? That would be. Have like she was, 10. Yeah, she was married to a gangster. Like, it's like the mob.
You can't write this. I mean, you can't make it
up.
You can write it, but you can't make it
up. You can write it, but
Because that's what I was thinking of when I read it. I read a lot of books, and sometimes when you have a radio show, you know, or you're a host of a podcast or whatever, people will come to you and say, can I be on? And then there are people like, I sought you. Your book didn't show up. I said, Misty, send me a book. And when I sit down to read the books, often you're looking at them like, where's the to-do list? What do I have to do? What do I have to learn? Where do I tag things? And yours was one of those where I sat down and read it. It was like I said, it was a storyteller. I had my coffee and I was reading. I was like, damn, girl. But what I love about it and what I try to do is you're teaching without people maybe necessarily knowing you're teaching because you're weaving all that.
Because that's always the best, right? Yeah. If you can learn from somebody else's story by kind of realizing, oh, I have a little bit of that. How did they get through it? They seem okay. How did they get to okay? Mm-hmm. How did they get to happy again? Yeah. And that whole thing. So, because I had mentioned my mom died while I was in seminary, which couldn't have been more of a supportive place, right, to be during my last year of seminary. But in the book didn't come because of my mother. It became because of my twin brother. So I didn't come into the world alone. I actually came into the world with someone else. We were super premature, and this was 1966, people. We are lucky that we are alive because we weighed 5 pounds together. And so we were super little, and we were born into not just a perfect little family. I mean, who out there? Do you have a family?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, exactly. I just was put on this earth. I do not have a family.
Right.
I want to interrupt just now because if it's okay for me to say, can I just say what just happened in your real life? Because it's a really big aha question to the little girls. You're a twin. You were premature. Yeah, you know where I'm going. Now, you just had twin granddaughters who are also premature. It's like very epigenetics premature on overload here.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because my son and his girlfriend who are having the twins together, my son is actually one of my adopted children. And so we kind of joke like that. We're like, it doesn't matter. You're still getting the twin gene.
That's amazing.
That's pretty amazing. So
you and Glenn, because Glenn's your brother, you guys, it's very interesting because you were buddies for such a long period of time and really needed to be, right? Because it was kind of this tumultuous situation at home. And then there was a little bit of a twist, a little pivoting going on there where you kind of, I, I just look at it almost like you were saved in a sense. You just made such a conscious effort without knowing it was mindless that you were just like, yo, I'm not going to be like any of these peeps and I need to do blank.
Right. Something. And so lots of times when I'm either doing speaker events or talking or teaching on this, I usually start my anything with, hey, who here has a family?
Because when
we're talking about forgiveness, exactly. Our first teachers, our first best friends are our family. Mm-hmm. And we have this innate DNA connection and we want our family so desperately, even if our family is messed up. That's the piece about children. Children want that family. They just want the people to do better and be better. So that was the family that my brother and I were born into. So we were, first of all, on overload on protection, right? We were growing up in a little bit of a tumultuous kind of situation. My mom was married 6 times, like I mentioned. So there was different men in and out. My mom, she loved more than a martini, about 5 or 6 a night. So right. there was alcoholism.
Highly functioning.
I know, mm-hmm. Highly functioning, super hardworking woman.
Right.
But it's you know, I can't have a glass of wine without going to sleep. So I don't know. But ultimately, it made for a really difficult life. And when my brother and I, that you mentioned, John Glenn, when we were little, he was my best friend. Mm-hmm. We were, by the way, adorable. And my mom was a good mom in some senses and not in another. So we had the matching clothes, that kind of stuff. But you can imagine the chaos of alcoholic home. We would be hiding in the closet together because of the chaos going on in the living room. And then, as you mentioned, over time, things changed. And what changed was, in our teen years, my brother started to turn into the people we used to hide from. And
she kind of attracted the same type of person, even though there were multiple pals involved here.
Right, exactly.
So he kind of had that learned-ish or something behavior.
Right. And if you talk to families that have a lot of dysfunction, I mean, as far as I know, I've never met a family that doesn't have something, mm-hmm. but big dysfunction, you get different layers and kids act differently. They choose different things. Some choose the same path. Some choose the absolute opposite path. Some children choose to kind of hide and they have zero contact with people. They just figured, I'm just out. They're what I call the one and dones, right? And actually, AA even backs this up with some good studies about how people in alcoholic homes react. So I was the one who was going to change the world and protect everyone and make it all better and have a better life. And my brother chose the path, both DNA-wise and by choice, to become the alcoholic rageaholic that we grew up with.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. You know what I was thinking of? I don't know if my mic okay? It seems like it's going in and out of my ears.
Oh, I can hear you.
When I was thinking about how cyclical, it was really eye-opening to me because I'm kind of going through some forgiveness stuff to work on in my own family, which we all are, but I don't know if we really have it labeled. It's like we're going through this where we either need to forgive or somebody's working on trying to figure out how to forgive us. We might just not know it. But it's such a cyclical process. We're such human beings that it really was eye-opening to me to kind of sit in this and go, whoa, huh, I'm sitting here like I'm all self-righteous and I'm going, well, I'm going to decide if I want to forgive you. And I'm like typing this letter up. I don't know. Are you aware you heard me back in 1994?
Please tell me you weren't typing up a letter. Please.
Amen. Swear to God. I swear Jesus is my soul. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and James.
And you were planning on actually sending it?
No. I've sat on it.
Oh, good.
I'm so damn proud of myself. I can barely speak out loud. I had to call like 3 people to tell them how proud I was of myself. That's how
proud I am. I'm proud of you.
No. And it was so weird because the old me would be like, okay, I'm going to take a picture of it. I'm going to call 3 people because it was so like, you've hurt me and I want to work through this forgiveness and I'm coming from a loving place. However, I still had that kind of ego where I was like, oh, by the way, there were these 3 things that I'm also upset about that I want to share with you.
Well, Peggy, I think it's really important that right there is a perfect place to interject the confusion around forgiveness. So I know I was confused. I was so confused. And I had gone to seminary like forgiveness is kind of a thing, right?
Right.
But the problem was that when you're looking at forgiveness, it's twisted, it's turned around, both in our society and in religion. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, have you ever heard you're supposed to forgive and forget?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And keep, oh, and I wrote, yeah, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Something else I want to talk about in a bit. Keep going, geez.
Okay. Because ultimately, you know, elephants and people, we don't forget. And there's good reason for that. And it's actually forgiveness means that, yes, you can acknowledge what happened. It teaches you lessons. If you forget, what happens? We walk right back in it again. Well, and, you know, over and over, expecting a different outcome.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Doing the same thing over and over, ignorance.
Right. Yeah. And so then another big piece, and I hear this all the time from people I work with and in conferences and workshops, is that people were like, well, if I forgive them, that lets them off the hook. And I'm like, well, I don't know what hook you're talking about, but no, it doesn't.
That was a mental note I made too. Yeah, that was helpful. That was really helpful because what was it that you said in the book, like 68% of Americans believe that Americans have the intent or want to forgive, but like, what is it? 54% of us are like, no, there's a certain amount of like murderers, like, no. So it's this kind of, no.
Right. We have conditions on forgiveness. First of all, we need an apology. And we need the person to change. Otherwise, they don't deserve our forgiveness.
Amen. I mean,
and we are feeling really righteous. And that's exactly, by the way, where I was. And it's super important to understand that when you forgive, it's actually not letting a person out of social justice, which means, you know, whether it's jail or that kind of stuff, like a legal thing, or consequences. Like, just because you forgive someone doesn't mean you have to have them over dinner. You're not new best friends.
I love that. Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay, so all of you guys out there listening, you know that. You got to hear that. You got to hear that. Even family, because if I'm listening to you and you're the expert on this, even family, it's kind of like that agree to disagree. And I know that I'm going to have you in my life and don't have to go get a pedicure together.
Right, exactly.
And what's your rule on that? Is it... I just want to hear it from your own words. It's really that if you feel like you're going to cause more angst or more frustration or more whatever, I don't want to say hatred, but what's that level where you go, with a 10-foot pole? You know, that 10-foot pole.
Yeah, so you really did read my book. I'm so proud of you.
Sister.
So you can...
I mean, you're a reverend. I'm not going to make this up to you. You know what I mean? When I say reverend.
You really can love with a 10-foot pole, which really means love them from afar.
Yeah.
So ultimately, you know, Peggy, it comes down to, you know, I think it was Oprah, my spirit animal, who said, people show you who they are, believe them. Right? So... When somebody shows you who they are, and this could be a family member, a friend, a person you work with, a perfect stranger, when that happens, believe them.
Yes.
Right? So you wanting them to change and an I'm sorry is something that you want. And I get that. I so get that because it's validation for all that pain. Many times we're looking for an outside validation of our inside pain from other humans. And by the way, totally normal. We all do it. Yeah. We all do it. So understand that, you know, let's talk about the drunk uncle that shows up at the family reunion, right? If the drunk uncle shows up at the family reunion, ruins it every time, you've worked on forgiving them, but then the family reunion comes around again and you're like, the drunk uncle's going to be there and you get all kind of angry. Guess what? You already know who they are. So the anger and the unfulfilled expectations that you are picking up is about you picking them up. Ooh. Right? Ooh, it's hard when you realize how much control you have over yourself. That freezing.
Gross. So
yes.
Gross.
It's so frustrating. So free will.
If my cup was empty, I would. You know, usually I start the show, every show, that whatever the content of the show is, I start with a quote. And I just wanted to go back up because this one meant something to me, but now it even means even more. And the quote that I wanted to start with is, forgiveness doesn't excuse others' behavior. Forgiveness prevents their behavior from destroying our heart.
Right.
Right. But it's like, Because the hard uncle is going to show up, man.
Because
to come, I don't want to invite him. I don't want to invite him, Misty.
I know, but so say the rest of the family says, "Oh, he comes every year. It's what we do. We only see him once a year," and you say, "You know, well, I can't be there this time because why? Mm. I'm sorry." You know, and you can be very kind. That's the other thing that I talk about. Forgiveness lets you be kinder. Because you can now say, "Oh, you know, I just really hope you all have just a fabulous time, send flowers, do whatever." But if you want to protect your heart, if it bothers you that much, then it's your responsibility to not show up. Now, is it fair? Well, last time I checked, the fair is in August, and right now with COVID, there's not even that.
Right, no fairs.
Mm-mm. Right, so there's no fair. Right. But you are in charge of you, and you can forgive your uncle. And actually, empathy can actually sneak in for him, mm-hmm. darn it. And that's mm-hmm. what happened with my brother. When, and we didn't really get to the part where what happened and why this book happened was because 6 months after my mother died, my twin brother took his own life. And I used to think that when my brother died, I would be okay with it because we didn't really have much interaction. He wasn't a great human. I was really angry at him. And I understood grief. So sure enough, I got the call. It was too late. He was gone. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, and this happens in many people's lives, that moment, I had to give up the hope that he mm-hmm. would be better and do better. Mm-hmm. That unfulfilled expectation, I was left with, yes, grief, but anger and pain and a lot of sadness. And I had to give up the hope that he would magically change and be the brother, you know, he was supposed to be to me.
Yeah.
It was such a hard
based
thing
on
do.
What you wanted him to be as a brother, right? I mean, even well, even society says he could have
right.
been a little
I mean, by the way, most right. people's expectations, and I say most because some people like really, but right. most people's expectations are generally reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And mine mm-hmm. was reasonable that he would not be an alcoholic, that he would not be a rageaholic, yeah. that I could trust my kids around him, that all the things, perfectly normal expectations.
Man, that's really good. The whole expectation thing is something I can look back and I go, gosh, if I'd just known that, because I have unrealistic expectations on myself. So like, duh, I'm not
like
going to use
human?
That same. Yeah. But I mean, when I think about the tools and the strategies I use to try to keep meeting my own goals, which don't even make sense to like even myself. And like, I'm going to go, oh, these are a different set of rules for someone else. They're so unrealistic. For myself, I know I'm setting people, not only them, up to fail. You know, the skill or will that you talk about. If I'd had that 20 years ago, where I could go, you know, what I think is right might not be right. Is this there? Do they have even a skill to meet what I think is the expectation? And do they have do they have the damn desire? To be honest, do they even have?
Is
the
this
will
a good time to dig into the skill and will?
We're gonna come back because I'm gonna ask you. Let me cover one thing before we head to break. See. This is why I don't have anything directly in front of me because I freewheel. I just go off-road.
I'm good with it.
You know, if ever I'm like talking and I'm not on your exact algorithm, just say, yo, lady.
That's good. No, I'm
okay.
Good.
All right, you guys. So we're going to take a break. Misty's going to come back. We have all sorts of things. She has this very amazing algorithm, some steps that she's going to take us through and many more lovely details. And then we have some fun. We're going to come back and do a lightning round question. She has no idea what I'm going to do to her. And then we're going to have Misty talk for just a bit, 15, 20 minutes. And then I'm going to go into fad or for real and some Q&As. So make sure that you guys come back. We're going to head off to commercial. Take us away, Olivia.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah. Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
I have had such a good time on Tales from the Merworld Radio. It has been an opportunity for me to expand myself so dramatically and become much braver in my voice to speak about the things that I'm passionate about that are a little bit out there. Your staff is amazing. Olivia is amazing. Jessica, everybody. Anytime I need anything, they show up right away. So thank you for having such an amazing team that is allowing me this platform to do what Spirit wants me to do.
Hey everyone, it's me, psychic medium Jamie.
And me, spirit walker Nicole from Shades of Spirit, bringing you another Shades of Spirit tip of the week. Jamie, have you ever wondered if spirit or an angel is around you or your home?
Ever since I was a child. And today we're going to go over a few signs and indications that they are near us.
What about hearing your name called but you can't quite find the source? Has that happened to you?
All the time. I see moving shadows or bursts of color out of the corner of my eyes.
I'll have objects that go missing and then turn up in the most random places.
Especially when you're trying to get out the front door. I'll have electrical devices that turn on and off for no reason.
I'll see repetitive number sequences such as 444, 1111, or 1234.
Join us each week, Monday mornings at 8 a.m. for our Shades of Spirit podcast on Transformation Talk Radio. You can also follow us and make appointments on shadesofspirit.com or give us a call at 858-684-7575 to book your appointment.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to the Coach Peggy Show. And I'm Coach Peggy. And I'm telling you what, we're having a great time here with Reverend Misty. We're talking all about forgiveness. And you know, that's a big subject right now. I was, before I was coming on the show, I was thinking of what is the lane, like what's the place in my life that I've had the toughest time with forgiveness? And it is my professional world, to be honest. And I did not expect that. Maybe you guys who are listening, I don't know whether it is relationships, kiddos, or whatever it is, but I was like, what's up with that? And I realized that my expectation of how I should be treated or I should be respected or I should be paid or my 100 hours this week should be recognized. Well, not only did it align with my love language, which is words of affirmation, but I realized, did I leave all those times because I couldn't forgive them for the way they treated me? Or it was just kind of this aha in the workplace, but it's still the same way. This algorithm is duh, and it doesn't matter, right?
Well, which lane you're in. I really wanted a tool because I had worked in the medical profession, I had been in corporate, and algorithms are just simply a step-by-step process to solve a problem. And I had a problem. We mentioned before we left for break that my problem was grief, unfulfilled expectations, deep sadness, and I wanted to feel better. So I had a problem I needed to solve. So I went into research mode, and that's how the algorithm came up. I also believe a little bit of a God download there.
Well, you've had multiple hats that have helped you. I mean, just your profession has helped you. You have to admit that it's helped you because not only the research piece you could dive into, it's... And I know I'm just trying to picture myself kind of doing that. It's like almost like if I could have separated emotion, because I do a really good job of that.
I
think I'm number four, girl. I'm like the one and done. I can't tell you how many people I've one and done.
Oh, you're the one and done.
Oh, so you took the quiz. Piss me off. I'm like, I'm blocking her. I can't reach her on Facebook anymore. And that's just, I've grown a little bit out of it, but that's me. You've heard me. Peace out, Girl Scout.
Wow. Wow. I'm so proud of you for being able to acknowledge that. You know, we're all a little bit of them. At the beginning of the book, I do a fun quiz. You can also find the quiz on my online and all that stuff. It's a lot of fun. So let me just say, a one and done, I use a door as an example. So you shut the door, you cross me once, you are out, girl or guy or whoever. And then you have the, oh my gosh, why am I blanking? I should know them all.
Oh, no.
I have the book in front of me. So okay. you have the one and done, you have the okay. Best one is the roll off your back forgiver.
The duck, I just got
the duck one.
The
one
the stuffer with the and the non-forgiver.
Yeah.
And the stuffer.
Yeah. Yeah, and the why? Back. What's going on?
And the revenge person. The revenge person.
Revenge is, we all do it. How many times have somebody tried to call you and you look at their phone and you know it's them and you're like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to answer.
I never played that game. The roll off the back one, I kind of maybe that. I think I'm just a little in the stuffer. I probably am, kind of disconnect from stuff. But I went to the one and done because I got stuck on your question with kind of the legal place, right? So it's like when somebody murders, I'm like, they did wrong, and that type of stuff. And if they did wrong to me, but I still go to the faith side. Like you said, faith is belief that you can't really see happens, right? But we still want to have faith. So I still have to believe that I'd want to forgive them, I guess, but. All right, let's go through this. So talking to me, we were talking before break about the skill and the will, because that was eye-opening to me. And then let's go through your algorithm or however you'd like to kind of talk about these steps.
So I think the reason most of us humans get stuck in forgiveness, it's all about expectations. And we kind of touched on that earlier. And the fact is we all have them. And if anybody says, oh, I have no expectations for anyone, I always like kind of side eye and I'm like, hey, how's that going for you? Because it's not possible. We have expectations of everybody all day long, of ourselves, of the person taking care of us at a restaurant or a hotel or customer service. We have expectations of our partner in life. We have expectations of our family and our friends. And when they don't meet those expectations, that's when we pick up unforgiveness. So another problem with forgiveness is people think that it's supposed to happen magically, like just quick and done. News, you usually don't pick up unforgiveness, that pain, anger, sadness, unfulfilled expectations quickly. I guess if I came up and whacked you in the face, you'd be instantly angry. But those instances are really rare.
Right.
It's usually something that happens over time, especially in love relationships or work relationships. Yeah. I mean, how many people out there have started a job and say, this is going to be the best job ever. And then on the day that you're walking out, this was the worst job ever. I can't handle any of those people.
Exactly.
Right. Right. Because your expectations weren't met. Now, were your expectations too high? Maybe. But it's important to understand that you have expectations. And when somebody doesn't meet them, that's how you pick up unforgiveness. Now, what I talk about a lot is will and skill. And I bring in examples of my family. My biological father, it's super common when a parent leaves. A child has an expectation, and it's naturally built into us. It's like in our DNA that our parent will love us and be there for us. And then as we grow up, and if that parent is not there or they're not the parent that they should have been, like my mother, we pick up unforgiveness over time. And that is because we want them to do better and be better. Very common in marriage relationships when you're on the altar and you're saying all the vows and you truly do believe that. You really do. But the problem is some people don't have the will or the skill to meet your expectations. And it's super important that I clarify that. So what do I mean? Some people don't have the will. They plain old don't want to. Hey, have you ever just not wanted to do something? Right. We all have.
Yeah.
Right. Some of us don't want to. Some people start out with the will. Like example, parents, like I know when you're holding a baby, you're thinking doctor, lawyer. By teenager, you're like, oh, my Lord, I just want them to be law-abiding citizens.
Right.
So, yeah, things
so
change.
True.
Right.
So,
ultimately, you start out with the will. You really want to. or the person really wants to, like the spouse, for example. Mm-hmm. But because of their own problems, it could be a mental health issue, it could be lack of example of what that looks like in their own life. It could also be an addiction. And for mm-hmm. my brother, my twin brother, I know for a fact he wanted to be my brother. He wanted to be close to me and all of that. I know that for a fact in my heart. But because of his addiction and mental health issues, plus the abuse he suffered as a child, he just didn't have the skills.
He just wasn't set up for success, for sure, for sure.
Right. So lots of people start out with the will, don't have the skill, and lose their will. Very common in marriages. And that's when they're like, I'm out. I want a divorce. I can't do this. I want to go do 100 other different things and all the things. Or a parent who leaves a child, unfortunately. Or very common in a work situation, like you mentioned, they start out with the will. They get there. They don't have the skill to actually do the job.
True.
They lose their will and they become the worst employee ever. Right. And so they need to be led to another job that is better for them, that they have a skill for, and then their will stick longer. So it's super important. And this is what I love to talk about the most is when you're having a problem with someone, ask yourself, do they know my expectations? Mm. Do they have the will to meet my expectation? Mm. And do they have the skill to meet my expectation? Super important, because some people have the will, don't have the skill, but they really do have the will. So good news, they can learn the skill.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, especially it's that expectation. And sometimes I don't even know if we know our own expectation. You know, we kind of get stuck in that Lifetime movie of, you know, families all coming together for, you know, both sides of the family. We're going to get together for Thanksgiving. And when everybody gets married, there's still going to be 30 of us there. And we're all going to get along and everything. And it's like, that isn't even unreal. You know, it's just unrealistic even for ourselves.
That can be unrealistic because you're not taking into account everybody else's expectation.
Absolutely. And a lot of, we're not going to sit down and say, hey, this is our expectation meeting. I mean, it just isn't something that
we don't, but we should.
We should. So, I mean,
we should. We should have expectation conversations.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. When you went through the book and you determined, and it, we missed the lightning round, so we're going to do it at the end. I know, Olivia, you're like, oh my God, I put up the lightning round, and that's so fun. We're going to do it at the end when we get ready to let her go. What I loved about this is you could see kind of your science and the, you know, a lot of us are visual. So that algorithm's just like, you know, even the way you connect the dots on your cover, and it just is very methodical. And so the specific, I got my book right here, but you'll remember. So let's go through, you know, the whole thing where you're gathering the resources, which I love the resource people, the research piece. So talk to me about the algorithm part.
So the algorithm, true, is a step-by-step process. So what I do is I lead a person through their story. And I talk about, give me the facts. Just give me the facts. Because I know that I do this. I add all this emotional layer to the facts of the problem. So I have them write their story, but stay in the lane. Don't get off in the gravel. I know that your uncle so-and-so, blah, 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 said this mean thing to your aunt. And you saw that and all the things and deal, deal. But I just want to know, why are you angry at your uncle? Or why are you angry at your brother? So, and I want to know your story. Then I also have them look at the person that they're upset at, if it's that situation, look at their story. And this is when it changed for me. This is when I actually was a little irritated, because all of a sudden I had empathy for my brother. And I was like, no, I can't stay angry if I have empathy. So ultimately, I know what kind of life he had. And it was abusive and it was difficult. And when I wrote his story as if I didn't know him personally.
That's so true. Yeah.
Got there. As if it was a patient or a client or somebody else I was helping. Yeah. I could feel his pain. Yeah. Right. And then I realized he didn't have the will or the skill. And in the algorithm, I have you go through that. And there's a reason there's little dots like that. First of all, I had a beautiful millennial design this for me when I told her, and she made it like a subway stop, right? So that you could get back on the subway and go back the other way if you needed more time in a certain area. And so I have you also spend time in my toolbox. You know, I know everybody talks about toolboxes, but it works, right? I talk about getting counseling and why we need to do that. I talk about my funny counseling story. I talk about reading, praying, talking to friends, writing letters. Yes, no, burn them, don't send them.
Right.
Why we do these kinds of things. Different exercises to help you get out that stuff that you really want to be said, but might not be healthy enough to be said to another person. Right. And then at the end, I reinforce what forgiveness really is and what it is not. I think that's super important. What is forgiveness not? It's not letting somebody out of consequences or social justice. It's not saying what they did was okay. It's not accepting their bad behavior, right?
Right.
Then I talk about that's boundaries, huge. And that's at the end. Then I talk about life on forgiveness, because it truly is a tool you can use every day, literally. If somebody cuts you off in traffic, you can see all those people do not have the skill to be driving.
It's really interesting, because I can see that how somebody could grow through these, because I catch myself. I mean, when I read this, I was like, oh, I honestly said to my mother today, I have come a long way, baby, because it's amazing self-growth when you'll actually do it. One of the things that you touched on in this toolkit, and you know, bringing the whole prayer thing, and you know, obviously your work as a reverend and all the scholastic stuff that you've done, but the prayer piece of it, what was so interesting to me is all the different religions. So you guys, when you pick this up, it really is going to encapsulate a lot of our different beliefs in whatever that is, Christianity, Islamic, whatever it is. But it's really it is threaded. It's in that fabric all the way across. Forgiveness and unforgiveness is there. I mean,
well, guess what? Forgiveness is across all religions.
Yeah.
It's you know, we have the golden rule that is, I highly recommend you guys Google the golden rule, because there's an actual golden rule project that talks about all major religions and how we talk about the golden rule. So I kind of think about forgiveness as the golden thread that connects us, right? About how to treat each other and how to have kindness and empathy for each other and how to do that for yourself.
Well, and I think we're all trying to do it instead of sitting back and just looking and damning the religion for certain ways that they do it. It's like the same process that you can use even for the way people believe. It's like when
right.
you sit back
you can have
in
empathy
it.
For them. If they don't believe the way you do, because even in the same family, I know in my own family, we have very different religious belief systems, but it comes from their experience. And I talk about that too. I talk about the way to change somebody's belief system is give them a positive experience so that they can see differently. It's something they have to come to themselves. I don't know. Nobody's ever yelled at me for 20 minutes and had me change my mind. All this social media where we're yelling at each other, we're not changing anyone's mind. We're only finding people who think like us and right. reinforcing our own belief system.
Right. Yeah. Right. I know there aren't many of us that pick up the phone and go, can you tell me exactly opposite of what I'm, we pick up the ones that are going to make us feel better. You know, the ones that are going to kind of believe our way or whatever. All right. I want to spend a few minutes that I want you to talk about all the different ways that you are getting this message out into the world. So your classes.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I know. And it's hard. I want you to spend a few minutes here, literally all the different ways. But I don't want you to say, oh, I wrote a book and I'm writing another book, crappy to happy. Okay. Even though you are writing another book.
There is another book coming out through Sacred Stories, my publisher. And it's a combination, a group of people coming together, group of authors. coming together. I need more coffee, girl.
Okay.
Anyway, group of authors coming together, and we're each writing little different stories about how we went from crappy to happy. And it's an awesome book. It's due out in October. So that will be on my website. Also, you can find my book on my website. You can find it at Amazon, all major bookstores. And also on my website, mistytime.com. And yes, there's a Y. And truly, it is my name. Horses, dogs, and strippers. That's truly my name. And ultimately, mistytime.com. You will also find some fun, and I promise there's flying elephants, classes that are how to forgive your ex, because, you know, I have a couple, it's in the book, and and how to forgive your family. And those are the two number one things that come at me the most from people in all walks of life, is a family member, a parent, a sibling, somebody hurt them, and an ex.
Well, they're the ones we let in closest to our heart and believe in and have high expectations. I mean,
right. Exactly. You know, and totally like, normal, by the way.
Yeah.
Because you really believe they could be and do all the things, right?
Yes, I really do. I'm forgiving you for the last time.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yes, whatever. Exactly. Okay, so you're giving away $10 off with a code if they have watched the show for one of your classes. So how
for
do
either
they?
Either one of my classes. They can choose either one. Okay. All they have to do is put in the code Peggy.
That's so nice of you. That's so good. That's awesome. Okay, so what is next for you? I want to give you a couple of lightning round questions. Why? Because we forgot it. So, Olivia, you did great work. Okay. Here's some lightning round questions.
Okay.
I want to know what one of your guilty pleasures are.
Okay, it's true. It's Netflix and dark chocolate. Let's just be real.
Oh, I'll do the Netflix with you, but I'm going to bring a donut. Is that okay?
Oh, I'm good with a donut too. Yeah.
Okay, good. Binge watching, no problem. Okay, the next one I want to know is pop music, rock music, or rap?
Pretty much everything but rap.
Okay,
Pretty much all of it. I love all of it. I can't, even though my mom was a professional singer, I can't even hum on tune.
Oh, well, it's because you have so many skills in other areas. Okay, last one. What compliment do you have a hard time accepting?
Wow, that is a fabulous question. I think the number one compliment I have a hard time accepting is from my ex-husband's family. I kept his kids. Didn't keep him, but I kept the kids. And they are always thanking me for that. And I always like, stop. And I don't take that compliment very well. So that's super personal. So thank you.
Do you think that that's because, I know that's lightning, it's supposed to be really fast, but do you think that's because you feel like it's a duh, like I should be, it's the right thing to get me right? Duh.
Yeah, that's how I feel. But I understand from their outside view that, because their biological mother's never been in their life, and that they were like, but you didn't have to do that.
That's right.
And I'm like, no, I didn't have to do that. But I promised him I would never leave, and I haven't. And that's why I'm in a hotel room right now with my grandbabies in a big hospital.
Man, I'll tell you what. Well, I don't make stuff up if you've seen any of my stuff. I'm a Yankee. I'm from New England. I try really hard not to cuss online so that I don't get sued. But I'm just telling you, when I say I've read a book, and I've literally applied it, this is one of them for sure.
Thank
and
you.
I appreciate and I look forward to anything else that you do. And you guys go ahead and grab it. And if I can do anything else to connect you with Misty, reach out to me. And we are going to take a break. And thank you so much. And good luck with those grandbabies. And they're going to flourish because they have access to you. And I really respect what you're trying to send for a message in the world. So
One quick question.
What's your big call to action? So throw a call to action out there.
My big call to action is to check yourself. Mm-hmm. So understand your expectation and understand that some people don't have the will or the skill. So next time you even slightly get irritated, ask yourself, do they have the will or the skill? So check yourself.
Okay. I'm going to get a t-shirt, a hat, a mug, a keychain. My whiteboard.
Hold it. Let me make those really quick.
Hey, I'll buy them. We'll sell them. That'd be great. Okay, Misty, thank you so much. And I will catch up with you soon. And everybody, we are going to be right back. So don't go away. We're going to talk about fad or for real. Super excited. And we're also going to talk about, I've got a Q&A. I want to come at you. So Olivia, take us away.
Message Delivery by Lisa Ann. You can't make this stuff up. Tune in every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Message Delivery is an inspirational show about the journey to enlightenment and spirituality. For more information or your own personal message delivery, visit AngelMessagesToYou.com. That's Angel Messages, the number two, the letter U.com.
Hey, you guys, welcome back. You know, Misty's so cool. She decided to hang out. So, you know, if you see her face, I'm not you know, I can see your face. So I'm sure you can see your face. Anyways, okay, you are back and it's so exciting. My big takeaways, I'm sure that you realize what they were. Listen to the show, reach back out. I'm sure that you'll see me do a blog or something else on this because it's really like, it's in my cells right now. It's in my cells. All right, so let's talk about fad or, oh, there's my mic. Sorry, guys. I think my mic is like needing a break. Fad or for real? Okay, last night I talked on my Facebook Live about, somebody had asked me, you know, I want to kind of come home and go to work and blah, blah, blah. And it's this long freaking thing that I said. But I want to talk about keyboards. I know it sounds weird. Sounds weird. Fad or for real? So I had done some research. I shared it last night about how disgusting our workspace is. So as you know, I was out in corporate America forever and a day. And we would keep, you got to keep your workspace clean. And we'd say, get away from your workspace, take a break, take a lunch. That's kind of the reason we were doing that. Go mingle. But the workspace is super gross. You guys know that. So 70% of our keyboards are more disgusting than our toilet seats. Just saying. And this was more shocking to me, is 400% worse is your workspace. So outside of the keyboard, it's 400% that your workspace is gross, more gross than a toilet seat. All that being said, I want you to know that I have a solution for you that I didn't even know was a solution. So when I talk to you about fad or for real, do you guys know? And if you do, I'm sorry, I'm new to the game. There are waterproof keyboards. Now, Misty, you probably know that. There are waterproof keyboards. So back in my day, you know, when the keyboards were kind of new, the external keyboards, they had kind of this plastic top and you could put it on the top. And so you could eat your breadcrumbs or whatever and you could kind of wipe it off. And it was just a great day. Now, I'm telling you, I'm going to put this link up for you guys. I did a little bit of research. I'm going to plop it on the comments of this radio show when I'm done. So if you're listening on podcast, go back on to Facebook, go back onto my YouTube, wherever, you'll see the comment to this. There are anywhere from $19.99 to $179. One of them you can, I'm not kidding, legit, roll it up and submerge it down to 3 feet and sit it there for 30 minutes and it is completely waterproof. I was thinking, in today's world with COVID and hybrid school systems right now, you've got your kiddos home, you're working from home, hubby's working from home, everything is probably super gross. I have a client right now where she actually sharing with the neighbors where the kids are coming home and they're sharing like a tutor together. So think about that. I am going to go with a stamp on that. Boom. It's for real. It is not a fad or fake. I want you to get a waterproof keyboard or something that's really healthy. Okay, ready? Q&A. Got a question. This question that came in, let me read it to you really quickly. Then I'm going to let you go. I got a couple minutes. What is one of the most profound observations that you have made over the last few years regarding client habits? Okay, this is hard to answer really quickly. I want you to look into Gretchen Rubin's habit following, her four tendencies. I use this with almost all of my clients. So think about this. Habit approach. Are you a fresh starter or a baby stepper? Fresh starting wants to start right away. You don't think about stuff. Or a baby stepper might be so slow you can't get started. You know that. Or how do you feel about habits? Get bored, don't get bored. Or maybe how do you follow them? Are you an upholder? Are you an obliger? Are you a questioner or a rebel? So those actual strategies I use with my clients have given me a lot of ahas to help them. And then I really lean on learning styles. So I lean on auditory, visual, and I lean on kinesthetic or tactile because that helps them often absorb a habit, figure out why it's working or not. Lastly, the big one that I'm learning, and then I'm going to let you go, is left brain, right brain. If you are a left brainer like myself, 70-30, you're going to want to-do lists. You're going to want to be able to do everything, tick, 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 check off, and a habit might come best with you if you do so. All right, I'm going to see you in 2 weeks. This is the Coach Peggy Show. You can find me on my website, allthingswellness.com, Peggy at allthingswellness.com, email. I love you so much, and I can't wait to see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Coach Peggy Show, All Things Wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. Tune in live the first and third Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Coach Peggy talks all things wellness, not just nutrition and fitness, but about all things, about your money, your lifestyle, your beliefs, and even romance. The Coach Peggy Show, bold, badass and never half in. For more information or to connect with Coach Peggy, visit allthingswellness.com. Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.